Glory to God. Good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. You could just turn to somebody, smile, give them a fist pump or a high five or shake them down for money they owe you.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
And let them know how glad you are to be worshiping with them tonight. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's good to know Jesus. Good to be in the family of God. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a great, great night. What a great atmosphere in this room of faith, love for God. It's okay. Just keep interacting because I got all night. Some of you, maybe there might be a handful that do not know that your pastor has an identical twin brother. And so if you did not know that, turn to your neighbor and say, "Pastor has a twin and he's good looking." So, yeah. I know that's a surprise. No. Or there may be some saying, "Man, Pastor doesn't usually have much hair, but he really doesn't have any tonight." But it will grow back by Sunday. And then you'll ask him how that happened. It's a real honor to be here. Maybe be seated just for a moment. We'll stand to honor the word here shortly. But it's an honor to be at Heaven View. I don't come a lot because I work weekends. And some of you know that can really tie up your schedule. But we rejoice with this congregation in the victory and the presence of God that is here and what God is allowing you to do to glorify the name of Jesus and advance the kingdom. Many of your guests come by our place, especially missionaries, after they've been to Heaven View. And we always, of course, we have connection, but we always hear such wonderful reports. Would you just, by some expression of thanks, thank the Lord for the church family you have and the leaders you have and the work that he's doing through you in this community? I know you know it and you've heard it before. The best is yet to come. And God, between now and the rapture, we will see things beyond anything this congregation has experienced in its history, both in the overflow of the blessings of God and certainly in the influence in the world and in the nation and in this city for lost souls to be saved is the heartbeat of this church. You have a wonderful pastor. It may seem that I'm just saying that because I'm family, but he's certainly one of my heroes. I regularly listen to your audio cast. Sometimes I'll catch. So whoever's putting the Facebook Live out there, thank you. It would be good, though, if you could wait a week past the following Sunday. Just understand, because if you're going to get up and preach something, you just give me a little couple weeks there, and then nobody really will put it together. So, no, it's great. It's great to hear him minister and to obviously understand his passion for God. We speak regularly, and we're closer now than we've ever been. And every time we interact, there is a reflection of the passion that he has for God, for this congregation to grow and continue to be what God has called you to be. I love Sister Lisa Linder and this leadership team and this family. Thank you for honoring and blessing them. Amen. Most pastors can reflect whether or not they enjoy their job to their friends and family. I don't know if that shocks you. Maybe you think every pastor enjoys their job. Well, then you are sadly mistaken. I enjoy mine, by the way. I'm not saying that. I don't know if they're doing anything technology tonight. I don't need any bad vibes in Ohio. But these people love you, love what God has called them to do, and the reflection is in what is happening. I thank God for these leaders and for everyone that serves, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Stand. John chapter 17, we're in a series. They said, do you mind doing this? I said, sure, I'll do the series. Said, do you mind, just, do you want to introduce somebody, introduce you? I said, well, I don't need an introduction. And then I said, but I probably need somebody to tell me when to stop. So then they've arranged that. John chapter 17, verse 17. Thank you for coming to church on Wednesday night. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Would you say amen to the word of the Lord? And let's just pray. Jesus, what a great, great night. And there's a wonderful atmosphere of faith. We're convinced people will be healed and strengthened, delivered, encouraged by the word. We're asking you to have your way. Help us to be a vessel that you can use, and let your grace be upon us to both share the word and receive it. We believe you tonight. There are people in this room that whatever circumstances this week has brought their way, they can be victorious because you are mighty to save. You are a great and mighty God who knows every part of our lives, heals us, strengthens us, leads us, guides us. Even when you correct us, it's out of love, and we lean on you and trust you. Believe in your promises. Thank you for the victory tonight, and thank you for Heaven View, its leaders, and this church family. Let the blessing of the Lord be upon them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This prayer by Jesus that you read in John chapter 17 really helps us to understand what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it gives us understanding that the truth, the revelation of God, is not just something that we have. And again, we certainly want to refer to it on Wednesday, or we want to be aware of it on Sunday. And maybe we have some experiences in life where we start to interact with our church family and with the things of God, and it just becomes part of a segment of our lives. The revelation of God, most of you know, is not like that. The revelation of God is a game changer, a life changer. This is not a hobby, following Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not just something you fit in. If you try to just fit it in, it really doesn't go well and you're miserable. You end up being miserable in the world and miserable in the church. It's not just something that you use as an emergency lever that you pull when there is tragedy or crisis in your life. It's not something you do just so you feel a little bit better about yourself. This is a revelation that transforms your life, gives you purpose, gives you direction. You'll never be the same. When God reveals himself to you, you will never be the same. Your family will know, and you will know, and those who interact with you will know. The truth will work in your life, and you will become something you could only become by the power and grace of God. The basic idea is throughout Scripture, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from habits that are sinful, free from fear and doubt and from insecurity and confusion, free from the corruption of this world system, free from a life that had no purpose. You also understand that you should buy the truth and sell it not, that you should receive a love for the truth. God's revelation in your life should be so precious to you that it's no thing that someone has to twist your arm to serve the Lord or to follow him or to even be involved in the work of God. This is a revelation that causes you to want more of God. Amen. In fact, we know that there's a defining line between those that hold the truth in righteousness and those that hold it in unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1 refers to this. The New Living says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. Through everything he made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. They have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God or even give him thanks." That's kind of a line in the sand. The word of God says you're not just going to receive this revelation and just kind of meander through life without some demonstration of faith and faithfulness and obedience and worship and a heart that is sold out to God. I don't want to be someone that knows the truth and knows who God is, but does not worship him, or does not thank him, or does not yield my body to serve him. I don't want to be that person. Everyone in this room that served the Lord for even a little while knows we have some seasons, and maybe some of those seasons are not as faith-filled as we know they should be. But you know what you ought to do when you find yourself in that circumstance. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Get to the presence of the Lord in your altar at home, in the altar at church, and say, "Lord, I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to just go through the motions. nations. I don't want this incredible gift to die in my heart. You know what prayer does for you. You know what studying the Word of God does for you. You even know what coming to church and missing church does to you. But what happens when we say, I don't want just the Holy Ghost, but I want a relationship that transforms my life. And I want to wake up every morning and I want to say, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I don't want to get so confused by the world that I lose my purpose. I want to say every day, lead me, Lord. I'll follow you. Praise God. You say, well, you know, he's getting kind of ramped up. That's not really what I need on Wednesday night. Don't worry. You will survive. If you're afraid and petrified, you will survive. Stay with me now. It's Wednesday night. Beyond ordinary comes this miraculous, life-changing revelation. The truth. And it calls us to be like Jesus in this present world. As he was, we should be in constant communion with our Heavenly Father, doing his will at any cost, not my will, but thine be done, placing the mission ahead of my personal gain or my agenda, my ambition, my convenience. The Apostle Paul said it this way, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That may feel extreme, but that really is the way it is. What you found was a treasure that when you found it in that field, you should have sold everything and bought the field, because there is nothing else coming that will add meaning and significance and true definition to your life. This revelation calls you to be like Jesus. We fill our lives with so many things and it gets so crowded and there's clutter and there's things that bring us down, and there are the affairs of life and the cares of life, and there are times where our treasure is not where it needs to be, and it's the times when we don't set our affection on things above. Surely we still love God. We still want to go to church. We might even still give and be involved in service, but our affection has kind of seeped in a direction where we're no longer letting him be first in our lives. But this revelation calls you to come after Jesus and deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. This revelation, this truth calls you to inspect the quality of your faith every single day of your life and say, oh Lord, search me. Try me. No wonder the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. God will give us grace to let this revelation help us, because the truth about the truth is this is not something that you'll just revisit once in a while and take a little comfort in it. This is something that will change everything about your life. You ought to have people come up. Did you get the Holy Ghost last week? You ought to have people coming up to you this week. You look different. You don't seem the same. You're acting different. Did you get the Holy Ghost 5 years ago? You ought to have people coming up to you and say, I remember a few years ago, it seemed like things changed for you. It seemed like you're a different person. That ought to happen. The truth about the truth, this is not a club. And really, this building isn't even the church. And that doesn't mean it's not a wonderful building and a great miracle and the property and the work you've done to make it so beautiful. But we are the church. How and where did you get that? The truth has spoken into our hearts. And the revelation is we are the body of Christ. And we are to live as he lived in the world. There will be temptations, but he will provide a way of escape. You're going to struggle. You're going to have difficulty. You're going to be frustrated sometimes. You may not even want to come to church on a Wednesday night. And you may say, you know, pastor's not even there. He won't even know. He'll know. Every pastor, at the conclusion of every service, whether they're home or away, was so-and-so there? I promise you, this conversation has happened and your name has come up. Well, were they there last week? Does anybody know what's going on with so-and-so? That's real life. And probably everyone had been on the love list at one time or the other. Not the hit list. The love list. I love them too much not to pray for them, not to call them, not to say, hey, you know, you ought to realize that's not just some effort to keep the numbers high. That's some effort to keep you engaged in the thing that was supposed to revolutionize your life. When you and I grow cold and go stale and we lose our sense of purpose, we're not the ones that are somehow holding this all together. The truth is marching on. We get left out and we get left behind, so we ought to encourage one another and provoke one another to good works and say, hey, let's go. We have what the world needs. We've been called to live like Jesus. The truth about the truth is that this revelation establishes our identity, who we are, who we belong to, what we're supposed to be doing. The truth about the truth is once God reveals himself to you, it dawns on you. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Jesus said it this way, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, water baptized in Jesus' name. The revelation is, I have a new life. I have a new mind. I have a new purpose. John chapter 17, verse number 8. I have given them thy words, which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Don't you get confused. Don't you lose your way. Don't you let the devil lie to you. On your worst day, you still are a child of God. Go ahead and reach out to him. Go ahead and call on him. Go ahead and be restored. Why? Because he's given me a revelation. I know I belong to God. Amen. You know what happens, and it must really give the enemy, we don't necessarily feel like these conversations go on, but perhaps in your imagination you would believe it would give the enemy a headache, or at least be annoying, because just about the time he thought he had you completely convinced that you were supposed to be an addict, or you were supposed to go ahead and let everything about your life disintegrate, that you were supposed to be hopeless and in despair and in confusion, here comes a revelation. Maybe it was in a song that was sung. Maybe certainly it was in a sermon that was preached, and maybe it had something to do with a testimony that was shared, and your good friend said, I'm just telling you, if he could do it for me, he could do it for anybody. And the truth about the truth is it absolutely breaks open everything. every prison door and says, losers are winners. And let the weak say, I am strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done. Don't you walk around in fear, intimidated. Nobody loves me. Get up and say, I am a child of God. Yeah. 52-year-old man. We had his memorial service on Monday night. In and out, in and out, in and out. Finally succumbed to a habit that destroyed his body and took his life. We who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, who know the joy and peace of the Holy Ghost, we should never, ever let the enemy come in and begin to twist the facts on us and start telling us that that's where we really belong after all. We ought to put our hope and trust in God and say, many there be that say of him, there is no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. This revelation establishes your identity, your purpose, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Why is he reading so fast? He's got like 29 pages of notes. Super huge font. But you know what that says? The revelation is you do belong in the church. The revelation is you do have a purpose. The revelation is even if you don't sing the solo, you still do something that matters. We will never grow the way we need to grow if half of us think what we're doing doesn't matter. But if we could all get up every day and say what I'm doing matters because I'm doing it for God and he called me, he chose me. I wish the person that cleans the church would believe he's God appointed. I wish the person that comes and plays the instrument would believe he's God appointed and not with an attitude, with a humility. I have been chosen. What kind of church is this? Everyone's called at this church. Everyone's filled at this church. Everyone's anointed at this church. Everyone has an assignment at this church. Do what you're called to do with all your heart as unto the Lord. Don't sell out. Don't compromise. Don't get an attitude. Don't start your own church. Did I really say that? Let's just use our imaginations. If God called you to be a part of the work of this local congregation, and he gives you direction and leadership and starts to show you his will, if you somewhere along the way get bent out of shape and go do your own thing, what makes you think God's going to bless that? He's going to bless what he called you to do. He called me to Ohio. If I got up tomorrow and went to Jamaica because it's nicer, because the ocean is wonderful, because they do have non-alcoholic pina coladas, thank you very much. Because there are people that'll make the bed and clean the room and do stuff. I could sit there all my life, couldn't probably afford it, but until they kick me out, I could just beg for the blessing of God. But he'll just look at me and say, I did not call you to sit on this beach. I called you to get back where you were appointed, and you do my will. When it's hard, you do my will. When you're weak, you do my will. If God calls you somewhere else, he will affirm it through the man of God and the leadership in your life. But until he does, you ought to say, I know who I am. This message is entitled The Truth About the Truth. Subtitle: Things Pastor Wants to Say But Is Trying to Be Nice. And I don't even think that's true, because he's always sharing with you what God gives him for this church. I didn't choose you. God chose you. And the person who sat in your row who you don't like, you didn't choose them. God chose them. Get over yourself and serve God together. That may not even apply, but if I get a lot of courage, I could share this in Ohio on Sunday. The truth establishes our authority, why we do what we do, and how we do what we do. I'm going to move as quickly as I can. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Everything we do, we ought to do as the representatives of Jesus Christ, honoring his name. Jesus said it this way: I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, you kept me, you kept them, and on and on and on and on. Now I come to you, verse 13, that these things I speak in the world, they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Finally, Mark 16, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Everybody say it out loud. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Why we do what we do and how we do what we do, it's established by the revelation of God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus. With the name of Jesus. Quick survey. Survey says, let me ask you a question. If you were to go out here and a car cut you off, catch you by surprise, if you were to whisper a prayer or cry out an exclamation of prayer, how would that go?
I'd cry out. Jesus.
See, first time for everything. That's not the first time you've heard that. And everyone has done that. Everyone that knows the name. Everyone that knows the revelation. It must really give the devil a headache. Every time he really has us pressed down, all the way down, all the way in discouragement, we just remember something that's worked every single time we've ever applied it in our life. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, help my family. Jesus, work in the church. That's why when we were praying before service, you kept hearing the name of Jesus. That's why in the worship service, you keep hearing the name of Jesus. That's why when we go out into the community and when we do whatever we do, and when you go to Holland, there's only one name that's getting all the glory, and it's the only name with all power. The truth about the truth is, if any of us had to do this in our own power, we'd be done. It wouldn't even be hard for the devil to bump us off. Just get a flat tire, you can hardly live for God. Lose your job, forget it. Family has fights, maybe a few rise above. Unless they know he's as close as the mention. We would have all been done the first time we lost a job or had a disappointment or had a hurt or had church trouble or went to do something for God and absolutely nothing happened. But we knew a name, and when we spoke that name, the same authority, the same power, the same boldness. Don't give up on the name now. We're getting very close to the rapture, and there is an escalation, and we're going to see exceeding and abundantly beyond what we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen? Amen. Mighty God. Anybody got dry hands? These iPads, you know, when you just kind of soak them, they're not happy. They reject the whole idea. But you see how much I did there? That's just the grace of God in your life. Are you ready? The truth about the truth. Not only does it establish our identity, not only does it tell us how and why we're doing what we do, but it also helps us understand. It engages each of us in a battle against that which opposes the truth. You cannot receive this revelation and not quickly come to understand that there is a target on your back. The enemy will come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord will be a standard against it. We have a man that for 3 years has been coming to church every service after his wife, who served the Lord for 30 years, had prayed for him all during her life in the church. She died without him ever coming through the door. And so we started witnessing to him and ministering to him. He's been coming to every service since she passed away. God is answering her prayers even though she's gone. But a week and a half ago, he calls me, and we knew we were having a great wave of the Holy Ghost. I felt so strongly that God was going to bring him through and finally fill him with the Holy Ghost. He had a major issue in his life. He was scammed by one of these scammers, and they totally drained his accounts, and he's got to rebuild momentum. He's a 62-year-old man, and it's harder now because he's not in the prime earning years. But we started praying for him, and don't you know that God answers prayer? Yes, the enemy tries to snuff out what God's doing. Yes, the enemy raises havoc in the lives of individuals and even the life of a congregation. And he even will mess with a city or a nation or a world to get us all to give up. But the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We've been praying. We kept praying. And Sunday, he was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a fight. There is a battle. I'm sorry that you feel so much pain sometimes and hurt and disappointment and anguish. But even when you're suffering, God is still on the throne. You believe that? Would you give the Lord a great praise? I got dry hands. It'll come back. Usually when that happens, I just start shouting. But I need to get through this. Because truth puts a target on your back. And some become intimidated and some are convinced the enemy is just too strong for them. It's not true. It's not true. Greater is he that is in you. But you have to make up your mind. You have to do whatever it is necessary to stay close to God. You have to do some things. It's not because you're saving yourself, but you have to actually stand and decide, I received the greatest thing I could have ever received, and you are not taking this out of my life, and you are not going to rob my family, and you're not going to rob our community. Somebody's going to stand for this revelation. Somebody's going to pray the prayers that must be prayed for an entire city to experience the Holy Ghost. And yes, heaven view an example. Somebody's going to give the offerings that'll help the world to hear the gospel. I know it's the Wednesday people that give, so let's try that one more time. Somebody is going to give the offerings that's going to help the world receive the gospel. Somebody's going to fight. Somebody's going to serve. Somebody's going to lift up a hand when it doesn't feel good. Somebody's going to dance when nobody else will dance. Somebody's going to say, I'll be at prayer when nobody else wants to pray. What are we doing? We know there's a target on our back, but we're going to stand. I don't know if you'd consider him a theologian. Orson Welles in The Third Man, 1949, he said, in Italy, for 30 years under the Borgias, they had warfare, terror, murder, and bloodshed. But they produced Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love. They had 500 years of democracy and peace. And what did that produce? The cuckoo clock. I'm not against Switzerland. I just thought that was a cool story. It takes a fight. You're not even where you are right now without Jesus Christ giving you the victory. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. What you're doing when you demonstrate faith and obedience to God, even when it is not convenient or comfortable, when your flesh is rejecting the very notion of sacrifice and service, what you're doing is positioning yourself so that the great victory that God has already established to flow in your life will show up in time, on target, exactly what's needed. But who doesn't know a story about someone that gave up 1 week, 1 month, 6 months too early, and God brought a wave of his glory? Jesus said it this way, John chapter 17, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world. Is that true? Jesus said it. They are not of the world. Are we okay with that? Are we in the world, but not? Are we okay with that? Are we understanding they won't like us? They'll say stuff about us. We got teenagers they'll make fun of. But holiness is still right. And modesty is still right. And a heart for God is still right. Wasn't even planning on going here, and I think the teens are out. But can I tell you, in recent times, I've seen the compromising student lose not just their walk with God, but lose everything. And I have seen the dedicated, ridiculed, persecuted, but still honoring God student, seen God open doors for them. Our young lady who was just on Next Steps for 8 weeks or whatever it was, she went through high school, and as she was singing in the chorus all 4 years, she made a commitment about what she would do in terms of her presentation. And every single year, they would start the school year saying, well, we're not sure we can do what you want us to do in several different areas. areas having to do with presentation and even attendance requirements. But every single year, the door opened for her. And then she went to college, and the door opened for her. And then she had a heart to go on Next Steps and didn't have the money. But the door opened for her. You got a target on your back, but be faithful. Be not weary. Be not weary. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap. If you faint not, I have a slide to show you, and I'll finish up. I knew I wouldn't preach as good as him, but I knew I could ditch shorter than him, so I'm doing the best I can. June of 1989. I had one more slide, if you have it. I don't know if you have it. How many remember this picture from history? In June of 1989, this column of tanks was rolling through Tiananmen Square. And most people, even the photographer, they really don't even know his story. They're not even sure. Maybe there was family that had been killed. Maybe there was just hopelessness that had moved into his heart. But for whatever reason, he's got a shopping bag. In the middle of this processional, he walks out there with his shopping bag as if to say, not anymore. Not anymore. It stops now. It stops here. It just can't happen anymore. Now, here's the thing. Anybody remember that story? Remember that picture? Well, we don't know what happened to the man. As far as I can tell, I mean the most foremost authority on everything, Wikipedia, doesn't even tell me what happened to the man. But some say that at some point, his friends and others in the crowd that didn't know him just went and got him and pulled him to the side out of concern for his safety. And the tanks went rolling on. And they're still rolling today. So can I tell you, and you read John chapter 17, I promise you this is borne out in the words of Jesus. It's absolutely impossible for us to stop the onslaught of hell in our community and even in individual families, if just one of us goes and stands by ourselves. We got so much individualism that has struck our hearts. Thank God this is a church where you pray one for another. But even that takes such incredible determination. We'll have an altar call in a few moments and people will pray with one another, but I promise you, our flesh will say, come on, we can't drag this out tonight. There's things to do. But there's got to be something that begins to spark our lives, because I'm just asking, what would have happened if everyone watching, said this cause is not just his cause, but it's my cause. If everybody watching, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings, and your pastor hasn't said a word, I promise, but it's not just the choir's cause. It's not just the minister's cause. It's not just the pastor or the pastor's wife's cause. The truth about the truth is once this revelation takes over your heart, you begin to say, the kingdom suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. We're going to pray. We're going to fast. We're going to worship. We're going to stand. We're going to give God the glory, and we're going to do it together. Now I am way out of my license as a guest, but I'm just going to do it because I feel happy about me. And Jesus, of course. But I don't care if you came from New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. What's another state people come from and somehow end up in Michigan? You got one moving here from Ohio. Please, do not, or if you came from across the street or across town, are from a Baptist background, are from a Catholic background, are from a broken home, are from an addicted lifestyle, are from a promiscuous habit, wherever you came from, this revelation ought to link you with your brother. It's not black and white. It's not red and yellow. It's the kingdom of God. It's the family of God. It's the cause of Christ. We're not going to stop the tanks because Sister Sharon knows how to intercede. We're going to stop the tanks because you get down on the floor with her and somebody else does, and somebody else does, and somebody else does. And we say, not now. Stand with me. Stand with me. Perhaps the most welcome words of every message preached by every preacher in this pulpit. Stand with me. It flows through our bodies with a sense of hope and expectation. He's finished! Oh, thank God. Stand with me. So what I need you to do is feel the same kind of expectation when it's time to stand with him and stand with her and stand with them and stand with them and stand with them. And I'm not going to go find them, but there may be somebody in here that gets on everybody's nerves. There may be. I'm not going to point. I mean, I already know who it is, but I won't point it out. Let's see. I know it can't be you, but if it were you and we needed to stand with you, it's now time in the kingdom of God for us to rush to the occasion. Stand with the hurting brother, the hurting sister, the family that's decimated. Stand with the leadership and the pastor as we take one more advance to push past the enemy's forces. And you realize what's at stake. It's not a bigger missions offering, and it's not a larger congregation on Sundays. What's at stake are the souls of men and women and boys and girls, people from every kind of lifestyle. We're not standing for a more comfortable building. We're not standing for better programs at the church. We're not standing for a larger choir with better recognition in the community. We're standing for souls. We got a target on our back. And Satan desires to sift you as wheat. So let's just all talk about the pastor's wife this week and see how good that goes. Yeah, I'm way out of line. But I feel good in the Holy Ghost, if that's possible. Let's just all say, do you see where Brother Ray parked? That's Sister So-and-So spot. Can you imagine? You imagine he doesn't have enough sense to not park Sister So-and-So spot. Where's that going to get us? I don't think this goes on in this church. But maybe I'm just taking a little surprise attack against the enemy because he wanted to try it. Let's just stand with my brother, my sister, with our leaders, with the work of God. Let's just stand and say this will be the season. We got a few months before the coming of the Lord, or maybe a few years, or maybe a day or a night. But between now and then, let's just stand and fight and worship and work. And don't wait until a convenient season to do what God's called you to do. We have been called to fight. God will give you grace. This altar is open. We'll do our best to pray for everyone. But would you come and say, Lord, strengthen me to fulfill your purpose in this season of my life. Strengthen me to do what I have been called of God to do. Everyone in this room that can possibly make the move, if you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost, we're happy to pray for you. You've never been baptized in Jesus' name. happy to do that even on a Wednesday night. But the balance of us are mostly church people. Could you just come? Say, Lord, I've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. Help me to shine in the place where you put me. Pray one for another. Pray in the Holy Ghost. We may direct you, but if that doesn't happen, you just intercede and bless one another with a prayer of strength, with a prayer that says, God, lead us. God, use us. God, transform us. I know it's a little different for a Wednesday night. I just wanted to pour out my heart. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being so attentive. In the name of Jesus, I